I titled this homily, Lessons from the Ascension. And there's a reason for that. When we celebrate the life of Jesus, we have lots of different events throughout the year, whatever event it might be, it just kind of passes us by. We go, oh yeah, he did that. But there's a reason for them. We need to celebrate these things that we may dive deeper into the mysteries of what we celebrate, recognize what God has done for us, and come to understand who God is. We can't let these mysteries pass us by. And so I'm guiding you to reflect on it today as I bring out lessons from the Ascension and show you the spiritual merit of what we celebrate. The first one, very closely connected with what I just said, is that the Ascension is for us. Isn't that weird to think about? The Ascension is for us. The reason why I can say that is Jesus, being God, could have done whatever he wanted. He could have just ascended to the Father one day and we're like, oh, where'd he go? But he didn't. He did it in front of his disciples. The disciples needed to see it so that they knew that all the things that Jesus had talked about had been fulfilled. We start with the resurrection. He rose so that sin and death would be destroyed. And then the next part of it, all connected together in the Easter mysteries, is the ascending to his Father, that he would take his rightful place at the right hand of God and bring down the graces of the Spirit upon us. All those things are connected as one event. And as one event, we have to see them all together so that we recognize that Jesus has fulfilled the promises God gave us. The Spirit would be upon us. Jesus would take his rightful place and receive all power, honor, and authority, and that God would be with us always. It's for us that he ascended, that we may know what has happened and be able to understand the truth of God's word. Which leads to the second one. Second one is one we don't particularly like. It's patience. The Ascension teaches us about patience and the value of waiting. Let me put it this way. What happened after Jesus died? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He lived in the tomb for two days while all the disciples and followers celebrated Passover. They did nothing for 2 days. They couldn't. Passover didn't allow them to do anything besides celebrate the Passover. So they did nothing for 2 days. And after sitting there for 2 days, reflecting on all what Jesus taught them, all the events that happened, the fact he's dead and they don't know what's going to happen next, finally they get to go see it. Then what happens? They don't see him. 7 days later, he appears to them. So they wait 7 more days after being confused about him rising from the dead and then finally see him. Then 7 days later, they see him again. Then they have to wait 20 more days, 40 days after the resurrection, before the Ascension. The season of Easter is like a period of just waiting and doing nothing. They don't have a job. They don't have people around them. They don't have him to be with. There's just nothing for 50 days. Until finally, when the Spirit comes 9 days after the Ascension, they have what they need to move forward. They wait for 50 days. Not only that, but Jesus tells them at the Ascension, wait here until the Spirit comes. He commands them to do so. So like the whole period of Easter is this period of waiting. Why is that important? Largely, we want things on our time, our way, the way we want them. And as much as they are on our time, the way we want them, when we want them, it's all about us. By waiting, we realize I don't have control. It's not about me. If I have to wait for God to do something, then I know he actually exists because I don't have control over it. That's the spiritual merit of waiting. The same thing worked for Easter. Everything could have happened in one day. He could have died, risen, ascended, and sent the Spirit in one day. I'm like, good, now you're set, go. I'm done with you people. He didn't. He had a period of waiting that they may realize God's actions, have time to reflect on the mysteries, and see the merits of what's going on. They needed that period of waiting to understand what was happening. So do we. We need this period of waiting. We need this period of patience so that we can recognize God's actions and be willing to receive them when it comes. That's the goal of waiting. The third one is one of my favorites. Where is your attention? Where is your attention? The disciples are there. Jesus ascends into heaven and they're staring at the sky. Then these two angels show up and say, Men of Galilee, what are you doing? Stop staring at the sky. He's gone. Get to work. I love that line. It's my favorite line from the Acts of the Apostles because one of the few times they're chastised in a way. Why do you keep staring at the sky? He's not there. Go, move on. But the same thing works for us. If we choose to stare at our feet, that's where our attention is, our feet. What we're basically saying is, the world is too much. I don't want to deal with it. I'm going to focus on myself, myself alone, and everything else ceases to exist. By taking such a bold way of focusing our attention, we ultimately lead to depression, anxiety, worry, concern, and self-centeredness. It's all about me. I want nothing to do with anything else. I don't think most of us are there. I'm grateful for that. Where most of us probably are is our attention's on all the things of the world. There's so many great things out there. The beauty of nature, the things that bring us joy and happiness, all the activities and stuff to explore. There's so much out there. There's also anxieties, worries, concerns, cares. There's lots of stuff out there that can also zap our attention and energy. Just thoughts of things. Where's the disciples' attention? On the sky. They're looking up. This is something we often forget. Our attention should be focused on heaven. And there's a reason for it. Where heaven is reminds us of something to come, something good to come. Reminds us of joy, peace, love, reconciliation, hope, God's existence. The more we focus on heaven, the more we realize those things and bring them into the world, which is exactly what the ascension teaches us. The disciples focused on heaven. They were so enthralled by what Jesus had done, they were stunned there. But then they also realized heaven exists. I have something to do. There's more to this. And from that point forward, they realized those things and applied them to the world, which was their next mission. The same thing works for us. As much as our attention is on heaven, and we realize it's real, it's somewhere, it actually exists, then all those things that go with it, hope, joy, God, peace, reconciliation, all those things are now possible. They're now real to us. And we can use them to help us deal with the things of the world better. They become more real. They become more useful to us. So we have to be careful where our attention is. If it's too much on the world, anxiety will rule our lives. If we focus on heaven, we have a whole new outlook on the things of the world. The fourth one is also one we don't particularly like. It focuses on sin, but not really. It focuses more on the mission that comes from sin, which is the strange part of it. So largely when we talk about sin, we talk about all the problems we do and all the issues in our lives and how we have to do stuff with it, like confess it, blah, 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 stuff like that. That's only half of the story. We're missing the rest of it, which is what Jesus' main point today was. When he told his disciples about the value of sin, he told them about the value of forgiveness. We don't focus on, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor person. We focus on the fact that we are people who have experienced mercy. We are the people who know the love of God. We have been forgiven. This is powerful. This is profound. This message was what the disciples preached. That's all they did for the Acts of the Apostles. They preached about forgiveness, not about how terrible people are, about forgiveness. So that the ascension teaches us that by Jesus taking the right hand of God and bringing the graces down upon us, we have forgiveness. We have new life. We have a new way of living. And that's what we preach. We don't preach condemnation. We preach joy. We preach love. We preach forgiveness. That's where we must focus. The more we realize we are forgiven, the more we're willing to be real about our sins, the more free we are. And the more we want to preach to people, look, you can be free too. I can show you. I've experienced it. That's the fourth lesson of the ascension. And so I encourage you, ponder the mystery of the ascension. Jesus took the right hand of God and bring the graces down upon us for a reason. It's for us. And the more we ponder these mysteries, the more we cultivate them and make them real in our lives, the more we feel the graces, the more we feel the power of God, the more we recognize the truth of what we preach. And by doing so, we experience new life. We experience the joys that come with Jesus bringing all this grace to us. We are people who have been graced.